payouts from bailouts.
Marketplace Morning Report is produced in association with the University of Southern California.
Good morning from American Public Media in Los Angeles. I'm Steve Chiatakis. There really isn't much more outrage that can be generated about the bonuses paid at troubled insurer AIG. But this morning, there is blame being lobbed squarely at Treasury Secretary Tim Geithner. Alabama Senator Richard Shelby told CBS's The Early Show that Geithner should have been making sure those bonuses didn't go through. Shelby says the payouts came from money that wasn't Uncle Sam's to begin with.
This is American taxpayers' money, a lot of people being laid off. I think people are not very sensitive toward where this money is coming from. It's coming from the hardworking American people.
For his part, President Obama says the payouts are an outrage, and he says he's looking for ways to limit future money to AIG. And the ripple effects continue. Now New York's attorney general wants the names of those getting the bonuses. He's looking at legal options. Those bonuses, of course, have clearly touched a nerve, but limiting executive salaries may come with drawbacks that could sting more than just the bonuses. From North Carolina Public Radio, here's Marketplace's Janet Babin.
Bonus pay is considered the only way to motivate mavericks to take financial risks and win. Doug Elliott worked at J.P. Morgan for years. Now he's at the Brookings Institution. He says if the government moves to limit executive pay at financial firms that took bailout money, those companies will lose their top performers at a time when we all need them to stay.
People in financial institutions work there for the money. So unless you can keep them from making more money anywhere else, which we can't, you have to pay them.
AIG has said it has a contractual obligation to pay $165 million in employee bonuses. But investment advisor Gary Schilling says a bonus is supposed to reward performance, not be part of a contract.
The problem is that when these bonuses become legal obligations, then they no longer are bonuses. They simply are delayed salary payments.
Even so, Schilling says without bonuses, financial innovation will suffer. I'm Janet Babin for Marketplace.
Construction on new homes unexpectedly rebounded in February. It shot up 22%. That was the first increase since April of last year. Wholesale prices edged up 0.1% last month. Taking a look at Wall Street, the Dow is down about 0.5% at this hour, about 29 points. NASDAQ up about 0.5%. S&P down about 0.1% so far. Mixed market. Asian markets mostly up, and European stocks are lower, 1-2%. Germany's economic minister is in Washington today for a second day of high-level meetings, one of which is with the U.S. Treasury Secretary Tim Geithner. There already have been discussions with top brass at GM, focused on whether the automaker's European operations can expect financial help from the German government. From London, Christopher Worth reports.
February's numbers show sales for GM's European divisions, Opel and Vauxhall, are down 22%, much further than the European average. Many of the same worries that have plagued the beleaguered carmaker in the U.S. are keeping European buyers at bay, according to Tim Eucert of IHS Global Insight.
Buyers will be worried about buying from a manufacturer that's potentially going out of business. There's all kinds of issues regarding, you know, will warranties be honored, residual value, spare parts, all those things.
Eucert says some decision should be made soon to avoid further damage. But Germany is reluctant about GM. Ministers are looking for assurances from the company on its own financial contribution to its European operations and that no government aid from Berlin ends up in Detroit. In London, I'm Christopher Worth for Marketplace.
American Express saw a steady increase in both delinquencies and loan losses so far this year. Net write-offs jumped 1.2% between December and February. It's also reporting its fourth quarter consumer spending down 10%. American Express shares fell more than 3% yesterday. You're listening to The Morning Report on Tuesday, March 17th, 2009, at Marketplace.org. Fed policymakers start a two-day meeting today to discuss how to turn the economy around. They've already monkeyed around with short-term interest rates for banks. They're at zero. Now the Fed is considering more drastic moves. Jill Barchet reports.
The Fed controls interest rates by buying and selling short-term Treasury bills. Tim Dewey is an economist and Fed watcher at the University of Oregon. He says there's new talk the Fed will buy longer-term treasuries, such as five-year notes. That could make it cheaper for everyone to borrow money, not just banks. But there's a big risk.
There's some possibility that we lose control of the situation and pump too much money in and actually trigger an inflationary episode.
The talk comes after the Bank of England started buying up its government bonds last week. Long-term rates have fallen in the U.K.
And so now people are thinking, well, the Bank of England just did this. Is it the Fed's turn?
Not right away, says Dewey. He says buying longer-term treasuries is a bit like firing an unguided missile. He says the Fed won't push that button unless the economy goes into free fall. In New York, I'm Jill Barchet for Marketplace.
With Bernie Madoff heading off to prison, attention is now turning to how his investors will be paid back. Brokerage firms do have insurance. It's required. And each claimant from a failed brokerage house is entitled to up to $500,000. But that doesn't mean the Securities Investor Protection Corporation, or SIPC, has the cash on hand. Here's Amanda Aronchik.
SIPC has a special reserve fund for cases like these. Except, not really. If the insurer honors all the Madoff claims, it will effectively go bankrupt. So now it's asking its members to help out. Steve Harbeck is president of SIPC.
We don't arbitrarily just raise money for the sake of raising money. We do it when it's necessary. It is now necessary.
SIPC sent out letters recently telling members its fee will rise from $150 a year flat to a quarter of 1% of brokerage's net revenue. Larry Hicks is president of California-based brokerage firm Finance 500.
We're going to be going from $150 to somewhere we're guessing between $50,000 and $100,000. That's quite a hike.
Every brokerage in the country is in the same position.
If you want to be in the business, you have to participate. It's a non-voluntary choice.
Hicks isn't happy about paying so much to pay for someone else's fraud, but he says every brokerage in the country is required to be a member of SIPC, so it's an unfortunate cost of doing business. I'm Amanda Aronchik for Marketplace.
About $70 billion of the stimulus package will be spent on renewable energy, energy efficiency, and other green initiatives. On a micro level, many Americans are already converted to the idea of being green. But others have to admit that they hate the light that glares out of compact fluorescent light bulbs or not ready to dump cars for a bike. So how do marketers persuade the not fully converted to cut back on their use of natural resources? Here's Ashley Milne-Tite.
Scientific evidence may show the planet is in trouble, but dire warnings aren't the way to go.
Using negative messages can have sometimes a very negative effect on us.
Chaim Mano is a professor of marketing at the University of Missouri, St. Louis.
For example, if we see a message that invokes notions of fear, very often many of us will completely ignore that message.
To get people to pay attention, Hugh Huff says you have to convince them they can benefit by changing their behavior. He's president of ad agency Green Team USA.
So, for example, it's not about being green to be green or saving the planet or whatever. If you buy this, it's going to save you this much money in this amount of time.
Take this ad from IBM, where a skeptical manager asks an underling why he should accept her so-called green plan.
See, the folks that I report to, they don't eat granola. So let me ask you, why would I sign this?
This plan could cut our energy costs by 40%.
Sure enough, he's instantly converted. Then there's Don't Mess with Texas. It started as an anti-littering campaign in the mid-80s. The slogan was aimed at young men, who were then the biggest beer can-throwing, cigarette-dropping culprits. Roadside trash fell by 29% within a year. Hank Stewart of Green Team USA says Don't Mess with Texas worked because it appealed to Texans' pride in their home state.
So if you wanted to make a similar success story in the environment, you would have to identify the values that are important to the audience that you want to talk to, whether it's saving money, whether it's a safer world for your kids.
But what if companies or government framed using less energy as a patriotic act, the way Texas framed cutting down on litter? Marketing professor Chaim Mano says that approach could backfire. He says driving everywhere, shopping, and cranking up the AC.
These are parts of Americana. This is part of the American culture.
He says if you imply those activities are unpatriotic, you could alienate the people you're trying to reach. So you need to keep the message inclusive and upbeat, even if what's behind the message is pretty depressing. I'm Ashley Milne-Tite for Marketplace.
With gasoline prices down from this time last year and the weather warming up, people are looking for some family outings. But one theme park company continues to have trouble circumventing the fallout. The CEO of Six Flags says one of its biggest debt holders won't meet to discuss restructuring, and that could wind the company up in bankruptcy. Here's Marketplace's Caitlin Carroll.
The big theme park chain Six Flags has been on a scary ride for a while. The company's been struggling under a mountain of debt. So despite a slight bump in revenue at its 20 theme parks last year, Six Flags may have to declare bankruptcy, unless its creditors agree to a restructuring plan. Credit Sites analyst Chris Snow says Six Flags has a lot worth saving.
It's generally a good business with strong margins. All the interested parties right now are going to be happier if the company were able to stay as a going concern.
Happy because as people travel less, they're spending more time at local theme parks, and most of them are offering big discounts. Robert Niles is founder of the website ThemeParkInsider.com.
This is going to be a brutal year for the tourism industry, and the industry understands that.
And if there's one thing Americans understand, it's companies hanging on for dear life. In Los Angeles, I'm Caitlin Carroll for Marketplace.
More than 5,000 people died last year in Mexican drug wars. A lot of the violence is especially heavy in towns near the U.S. border. It's driving a lot of tourists away. But those who aren't scared of the danger are finding deals and a devalued peso. From Baja California, Philip Martin reports.
On Tijuana's busiest tourist strip, Avenida Revolution, desperate merchants are out on the streets in full force.
Come and visit to Tijuana, amigos. Come.
Yeah, it's a good place.
The ongoing violence here has left the streets basically deserted. Marines from nearby Camp Pendleton have been banned from traveling to Tijuana. The State Department has warned Americans to be careful when heading south. But that didn't stop Floridians Linda and Steve. They're carrying armloads of souvenir T-shirts and sombreros.
We feel safe over here. I mean, what they told us is it's the bad killing the bad, so that's good.
And that ongoing chaos means that tourists have the upper hand.
Want to take a picture? Yeah, take a picture.
One merchant named Enrique has a donkey painted in black and white zebra stripes. His deal is, if you buy two T-shirts, you get to take a photo free of charge. Enrique says they need all kinds of giveaways because the narco wars have put a damper on business.
That's a big problem in Tijuana, drugs. A lot of drugs and a lot of gangsters. La mafia. Yeah.
Steve Wood from Anacortes, Washington, thinks the steady drumbeat of grim news creates a great buying opportunity in Mexico. Wood recently purchased a couple of timeshares in Baja California, and he also found a great deal on a five-star hotel here in Cabo San Lucas, complete with a lake-size pool.
We got a deal in the mail, an opportunity to come here for $299 for an entire week.
Do you find opportunity when other people are afraid to travel?
Yes, I do. I think that's how we generally got our timeshares.
These days, many hotels are only about 40% occupied. Alberto Gutierrez is a resort sales rep in Cabo. He's convinced the number of tourists will inch up as Americans put the violence in perspective.
Americans know that the drugs cartels are not going to go and destroy the resort. They know that tourism is the second source of income. So Americans know they're safe. And of course, there's always great deals.
If you have no problem going where many others fear to tread. In Cabo San Lucas, Mexico, I'm Philip Martin for Marketplace.
Hope you can join us at our website where you can share your thoughts at marketplace.org in Los Angeles. I'm Steve Chiatakis. Have a great day.
American Public Media.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.